Welcome to On Texas Football. It's time for Lunch with the Coach, Brian Irwin, former two-time state champion. Not former, you're just always a two-time state champion. Coach Lamar Cougars joins me. Of course, it's football time. There was a game on Saturday. That means Monday we get Lunch with the Coach. Brian, welcome in, and glad you were able to watch the game on Saturday.
Thank you, Bobby. It was a lot of fun. Good to get a chance to watch football, and looked like it was an exciting day. I watched it on TV. I wasn't there, but looked like it was an exciting day, and very exciting to see all that talent running around the field.
I was going to say, you're an offensive coach. What do you think about what you saw on Saturday?
That might have been the best spring game I've ever seen in my life from a just a competitive standpoint, high quality of play, points. You know, the thing that stuck out to me is it wasn't all this fabricated, generated points by, okay, defense gets points by getting a three and out or getting a turnover. It wasn't, you know, a lot of spring games, they just manufacture points with a bunch of tricky stuff. This was you score, you get points, you know, whether it was offense or defense. And the number of points the offense put up both sides was amazing. It was a spectacle. A lot of talent on the field, a lot of speed on the field, and very exciting.
People come out of there talking about two main things, primarily the quarterback play, and then they're worried about the defensive backs. Obviously, you know, there's a tit for tat there.
Yeah.
But you know, I wrote an article on Sunday for OnTexasFootball.com, and I just said the gun is loaded on offense. Man, they got dudes. Just about every position. What were your primary takeaways, Brian?
My primary takeaway is the amount of talented depth that we have on both sides of the ball, but I call it talented depth. And this is the first time we've been here in quite some time, but I was able to coach a few teams that had this kind of talented depth relative to the level that I coached at. You know, sometimes you're in a small school and you had some talent, but you haven't depth, you know, and then you get in a little bit larger school and you had some talent, but you didn't have the depth. And then occasionally you get one of those talented deep teams. And when you have a talented deep team, it creates competition from within, tremendous competition. Because when you don't have competition from within, and a guy knows he's the best in his position, it doesn't matter what he does this spring, doesn't matter what he does this summer, he's not on edge. He's not on point because he knows nobody can push him, nobody can oust him, and so that's a tough situation to handle as a coach and within a program. But when you have this amount of talented depth, it creates that competition. Now they know, you know, Quinn knows he's got a guy right behind him. I mean, right behind him, nipping at his heels. You know, the running back position. CJ knows Jaden Blue's right there. Jaden Blue knows CJ's right there, nipping at his heels. And it's offensive line. The same can be true said there. Wide receiver position. The same can be, you know, said there. So that talented depth creates the competition. Then thirdly, I think that competition then creates excellence. And that's what this football team's poised to experience is excellence. We're elite. And because we've got the competition built in every single day, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in conditioning, whether it's in 7-on-7, no matter what we're doing this summer, there's competition from within. We can lose this guy because we got another guy to step right in and go. We don't lose anybody, but we know things happen with college kids. And these guys have to be on point. They got to be on edge. They're going to lose their spot.
Got it. Speaking with Brian Irwin, two-time head coach of the Lamar Cougars state champions, also a high school head coach around the state of Texas for a number of years, graduated from Texas, was a student assistant and grad assistant for the Longhorns and elsewhere. Hey, Brian, let's talk about Arch Manning. Because I think that he and Trey Owens, the third-string quarterback, both put on a show to a degree, relatively. But Arch Manning came out 11 for 11 to start. Mm-hmm. And, man, after that first pass, everybody – I think it was kind of a dull spring game. And all of a sudden, Arch Manning throws a bomb, and everybody's eyes perk up and ears perk up. Everything is a little bit different from then on. What did you see from the redshirt freshman – out of New Orleans that really got you excited as a former quarterback coach, offense coordinator, and even head coach?
I saw a tremendous amount of poise It starts to me with his pocket presence. How he handles himself in the pocket. He's completely at ease. His eyes are down the field. His feet are doing what they should be doing. His gap escapes, whether it's an A gap or B gap or C gap escape, is on point. He's seeing the field. His mechanics are flawless. Flawless. He's the way he loads the football off his throwing shoulder, and it stays there, and it doesn't drop, and it doesn't do anything sloppy or inefficiently. It's loaded and ready to go. And then when he makes a decision to trigger, I mean, that thing's coming off that throwing shoulder, and he's triggered. He's got such a quick release. I also, since last year, have really liked his feet and his speed. He's got tremendous speed. I remember watching some high school film. I'm like, wow, this guy can run, you know. And so the one he broke up the middle the other day, he got a first down. They said, you know, okay, you got 8 or 9 yards for the first down. They wouldn't have tackled him. He was still running. So I just think he's an elite talent. He's an elite player. And, you know, Quinn's got his hands full with him right behind him. No doubt about it. Now, I will say, you know,
that's
a
good thing for the Longhorns.
No, it's a great thing. You know, we know how we feel. I think we're right on point with Arch. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this, but we also have to kind of go back to last spring game when, you know, Malik Murphy looked fantastic in the spring game. And, you know, we were all coming out of the spring game like, wow, you know, this guy. But Arch is a different talent. I mean, he's the type of guy that he's going to play early and often next year.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about what you would do as a head coach if you saw that level of performance, and maybe how do you get him into the game yet still keep your continuity with your first team guys? Because Quinn clearly is going to be the starter next year. There's no doubting that. He's 3-year mm-hmm. starter for the Longhorns. But how do you get him ready in case something does happen? And I want to talk to you about that a little bit later. And then I want to ask you about Trey Owens and also the defensive secondary and what you saw overall. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor of Lunch with the Coach. That is Laura Baker. She works with Keller Williams Realty there in the Austin area. Anywhere in and around Austin, if you're moving to, from, or within, Laura Baker is your realtor that you need to know. She knows Austin inside and out. 512-784-0505. That's Laura at AndyAllenTeam.com. Laura's a lifelong Austinite, just about, and she has literally seen Austin grow from, 250 to 400,000 to 2+ million that it is today. So she knows all the nooks and crannies. That's 512-784-0505. Laura at AndyAllenTeam.com. Let's talk about Trey Owens next, the third-string quarterback who, frankly, I mean, he may have thrown as nice a ball as anybody that was out there, that 20 yard out to Thatcher Milton that was just on a BB and threw it off his back heel. I mean, he showed a lot of ability too, Brian. I mean, you got to be looking at this quarterback room, and I think it may be the best in the country. I mean, it's loaded.
Yeah. Tremendous size. Big kid. Huge arm. And what I really like about him that maybe we don't all know yet, but I did read about him a little bit last spring and through the recruiting process, and some of the things his high school coach said, that he's just a tremendous competitor, like off the charts freakish competitor. So that's what I'm, along with his body type, his ability to throw, his ability to run, his ability to be a quarterback, I also like that part of him because I think that's what the quarterback position needs. With a championship football team.
You know, and he played at Cy-Fair, which is not a perennial power by any stretch, but they're a good team.
They're very good.
But they beat Katy.
Yeah.
In playoffs. And you don't beat that team without a performance of sorts from a singular player, and he certainly is one of those guys. So to your point, I think he's a guy that's down the road, but you can see the makings of another. I mean, look, Texas could have 3 NFL quarterbacks, at least from arm strength alone. I mean, they've got guys. You know what I mean by that? I mean, now they got to go do it.
Yeah.
But they've got guys in that room that are kind of freaky.
That's going to be the new norm is we're going to have that guy in the room every year. I mean, I just can't see it any other way. It's like I equate it to when I coached in high school. And I felt sorry for myself and all that stuff, because I looked across the DFW and, you know, Allen every single year had a Division I quarterback. South Lake Carroll every single year had a Division I quarterback. You know, those types of pro. So then, you know, you jump up to Texas and Sarkisian, and I just think that's going to be the new norm. We're going to have the elite level quarterback every year. Now, can we keep him healthy, and do we have another one behind him if one goes down?
Yeah, fair enough. What did you think about the rest of the skill position talent at Texas on Saturday?
Wide receiver, fantastic. I think we can be as good or better than we were last year. I just think from top to bottom, guys, more complete packages with all the receivers. They catch radius, speed, physicality, good body types, you know. I just think they're going to be incredibly good. The running back room, CJ Baxter, I saw a little bit of his old self in him, because, you know, he's probably healthy now, whereas last year he was just so banged up all season long. Jaden Blue, I love him. I loved him from the beginning last year when he came in the game early and showed sparks, and then he finished with a flurry last year. And then the young backs, I think, are going to be really, really good. So, you know, on the offensive line, I mean, that's where we, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, the last couple of months, is this is where it starts. I mean, we can be so good. We're so deep on offensive line. We're big, the big human factor. You know, they've got a goal of being the Joe Moore Award offensive line. They're setting those kind of goals. They feel good about themselves. And that's where we've got to be, you know, dominant to start with as on the offensive line.
Got it. Brian, you know, you look at it, what did you think specifically of the receivers? Like, were there ones that stood out to you that you said, huh, that's interesting? Like Ryan Wingo clearly had 100-plus yard day. Isaiah Bond started slowly, finished strong. Jonte Cook, DeAndre, yeah, those guys. Anything in particular there that you saw that was interesting to you?
I just think the catch radius, you know, out of Wingo. Isaiah Bond had the one drop. Arch made a great throw on that one across the middle. He would have scored on it if he'd have caught it. And what was funny is Arch's feet were kind of off platform there. And, you know, his feet were out here to the left, but he's throwing back to his right. And just a beautiful throw. Isaiah should have caught that ball. But, you know, it's in the spring. We're going to have some drops. But the catch radius, the explosion, the run after the catch, I thought was tremendous. And then, you know, just separating, like Isaiah Bond on the fade ball that Arch hit him on late in the game. It was a weird deal because he inside released the corner in a cover one look. He inside released him, and then he worked back outside and stacked him. So that is a true route running concept where most of the time you're on the fade, you outside release that thing. But because of the way the corner played it, he actually inside released on the fade and then worked back out to stack the DB. And once he stacked him, it's over because, you know, Arch laid it in there and then nobody's going to catch Isaiah once he catches it. So it's just tremendous route running. I think next level route running. So those things we've got to look forward to, and along with the fact that they're physical specimens that can run and they can catch, and they've got that catch radius. And I didn't watch them close enough to see how well they blocked, you know, on the perimeter, especially for the RPO game. But if they're that explosive and that strong, surely they ought to be able to block.
Got it. Speaking with Brian Irwin, Coach, the next thing I had for you is the secondary. All these yards for the Longhorns means somebody gave some yards up. Right.
Yeah.
And what was your takeaway there? Was it just good quarterback play? Was it lacking of some cohesiveness? What did you see that was either would make you think, it's not that big a deal, or hey, we got some work to do? Where would you sit on that spectrum?
You know, I would really need to see. I would need the clicker in my hand and be able to rewind it four or five times each play to really break it down. See. Were guys just getting beat? Were we having some – there's no doubt we had some busted coverages. Then you combine it with the fact that the pass rush, yeah, the pass rush is getting after it, but they're still holding back. They've got to be holding back a little bit because the guys back there in that black jersey and the coaches are threatening them with their life, don't touch this cat. And so that creates another tenth to two tenths of coverage time, which favors the offense. I think that favors the offense. When a defensive end or defensive tackle can't really pin their ears back completely because they don't want to be out of control coming in at the quarterback's knees or ankles or anything like that, I think that makes a difference. And then going back to the one I was just talking about where we hit the fade route, I think we were in cover one. I know I saw Taft spin down and blitz, and then the safety moved to the middle. Well, I'm not sure where the safety was. The free safety just didn't play free safety there. Okay, the corner gets beat. He's real aggressive. He forces an inside release. But why isn't the safety there over the top to knock it down or to make the tackle? So I think there's some busted coverages in there. And those are things that are going to happen in the spring. You can get cleaned up. And, I mean, you look at the personnel. We feel better about the corner position than we've felt in a number of years. I think we feel better about the safety position than we felt in a long time. So the talent's there. Now putting it all together with the pass rush, I really think we're going to be fine. I mean, I just think that we got a tremendous amount of talent there. So put it together. Everybody get on the same accord. If y'all right, y'all right. If y'all wrong, we're all right. And just execute.
Anything else you want to add to that, to the discussion overall of the defense?
We know we need to get more depth inside defensive tackle. I think we're working on that right now. Inside linebacker play is I'm still not there yet with inside linebacker play, but I think we could be there. It's just going to take a little bit more time, a little bit more experience. So those three positions, the secondary, inside linebacker, and DT, the question mark, the problem is that's right up the middle of your defense. So, you know, it's funny how now we feel like from an edge standpoint, we could be elite. We could be fantastic. Whereas, you know, the last couple of years we can't even sleep because we don't have edge play. So now we're elite, but I think we'll fix ourselves. I think we'll be fine. I was really pleasantly surprised how well our run defense held up. I thought our offensive line, I thought the run game would dominate a little bit against our defensive front, and we stopped the run. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah. Jake Majors only played two series, I believe.
Yeah.
And so that changed the whole complexion, but it gives you a sense for what a center, a fourth year starter at center might be, the value that he brings to the team as well. But to your point, the defense was missing Vernon Broughton. They were missing Trey Moore. They were missing Jahdae Barron.
Mm-hmm.
They had three starters out.
Ethan Burke didn't play much either, did he?
No, he played into the end of the first half. Same with Barron Sorrell.
Okay.
Did not play much. So
okay.
I think that the defensive performance, you got to – whereas the offense, and this is interesting because the offense after Quinn – In the first team offensive line, those guys were getting a lot of first team reps, especially the receivers and tight ends, et cetera. We're getting a lot of first team reps for the first time, really. And the defense is older now, and so they were rotating more players out. So maybe that's part of it. Let's finish with this. Arch, and we said we'd come back to it. Arch had such a good performance, and Texas has to get him ready. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, in case Quinn goes down, how do you handle that in the early season games for Texas against Colorado State, even Michigan, UTSA? Do you play Arch early? Do you wait and see if you mop up time in the second half? What, you're a former head coach. You've thought about it, I'm sure.
Yes.
Out on
yes, we play him. And we play him on schedule early and often. He let's say he comes in the third series of the game, and that's the schedule, that's the plan. Doesn't matter what the score is, but he comes in, he's coming in the third series of the game. He's going to play quality snaps against quality opponents from the get-go early in the season. I just don't think we can afford to treat this next season like we did last year with, you know, Malik never got to play, Arch never got to play, unless it was like absolute mop-up time. And I just think we've got to get Arch. Arch is too talented to be sitting on the bench. We can't wait until something happens to Quinn to throw in Arch cold. Arch needs to play third series of the game against Colorado State, third series of the game against Michigan. And then after that, no promises. I mean, it's based on how Quinn's playing, and then we get in hopefully into some mop-up time, then Arch gets the opportunity to play a lot maybe in the fourth quarter. But definitely he's coming in, you know, third, fourth series of the game, and it's on schedule, and it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are.
So you're talking about preseason where you're not really fighting for the conference championship, right?
Correct.
You're trying to get him at least some time early.
Correct.
Predetermined in games so that in case anything ever does happen, you're not talking about him taking over Quinn.
No. I'm talking about Quinn's a starter, period. But Arch is going to be coming in the game, the third series of the game. And if it's a three-play drive, it's three plays. If it's a 13-play drive, it's 13 plays. If we're down 14 to nothing going into the third series of the game, he's still coming in the game. If we're up 14 to nothing, it doesn't matter. He's got to play quality snaps against quality opponents and behind the number one offensive line, with the number one receivers, the number one running back, number one tight end, and against their number one defense. When the game is on the line, Arch needs that experience. He's earned that right. He's too talented to leave on the bench until 3 minutes to go in the game when we're up 28, 35 points. That does him no good. Last year, that was fine. But now he's established himself. He's an elite quarterback. He's one play away from being the starter. He needs to play a series in the first quarter, in my opinion, or, you know, the first half. Depends on how the first couple of series goes. But he's playing a series in the first half.
I'd say that's a change from what we thought just 3 days ago before we saw him, because he was that impressive. I want to say thanks one last time to our sponsor. That is Laura Baker of Keller Williams Realty. If you're moving to, from, or within the Austin area, or just want a second home to go see games on weekends like some people, give Laura a call at 512-784-0505. Laura at andyallenteam.com. We appreciate her and her sponsorship of On Texas Football. All right, Brian, I'm going to give you one final chance. Anything else you want to add to the equation here in this off-season lunch with the coach?
One of my favorite things, Bobby, this is a critical time of the year right now. Yeah, we've come out of spring ball. It's time to get back in the weight room. It's time to start doing some running, heal up the bodies a little bit. But we you know, from a strength conditioning standpoint, from this point on, we have an opportunity to make one more push. You know, do we need to gain 2 or 3 pounds? Do we need to gain another 20 pounds on the bench press? Do we need to gain another 35, 40 pounds on the squat? You know, the running, the conditioning, the plyometrics, the agility, all those things come into play now, getting them back at that. And then the biggest piece is no drama. No drama. Keep your nose clean. We don't need drama. And because, you know, if we have drama out of you, you got a guy right behind you. So that's the competition that we talked about earlier that's built in. So let's get it in the weight room. Let's get it in strength and conditioning. No drama off the field. Let's keep our nose clean and get ready to have a championship season.
Yeah. All right. That's Brian Irwin, former 2-time state championship head football coach of the Lamar Cougars, also around the state of Texas as a head coach as well. Brian, thank you so much for your time, bud. It's been a fun offseason so far for the Longhorns, and I know you saw that game with all those receivers running around and all those running backs running around and quarterbacks tossing it, and you were like, heck yeah, yeah. Let's have some more of this.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that scoreboard is going to be going ding, 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 ding. We just got to play some championship defense to go along with it.
All right. Brian Irwin, thanks so much, Coach. You have a good one. That's been On Texas Football, Lunch with the Coach. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.